Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
The display of your power, because heaven is here. Thank you because we are connected together, because heaven is here. Thank you because of the testimonies, because heaven is here. We lift up our hands to heaven and we say, help us, let more of your heavens be established here on earth in the name of Jesus. And everybody will shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Everybody will shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Eagle Heights Music. Thank you, instrumentalists. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, everyone, for joining to ask heaven to come. Hallelujah. Okay. Welcome to the big family, and thank you so much. Our parents are praying for us, Reverend Ben and Pastor Kay. Please help me put your hands together for them. They are praying for us seriously. Thank you. Thank you. The fact is, each time I think about them, I every day, I develop the reason to move ahead in life. Thank God for them. And thank God for us as a family. And thank you for the opportunity to stand in front of you this morning, just to share my thoughts. We're still in our series, Thriving in Relationships. I just need us to read a scripture in I think in three different translations. We have asked heaven to come. Let's read this scripture together. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. I think we used it during our prayers this morning. So we want to read it from the Message translation and then the NLT and one other translation. One, two, go. Let's read as a family. In light of all this, here is what I want you to do. When I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want any strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring out yourselves for each other in acts of love. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Can we read the last part? The verse 3, let's read it again. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Please, if you have your Bible, mark that place. Let's read it in another translation. Let's go together. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Let's see it in another translation. Want to go? This is the Amplified version. Want to go? I, therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you. Gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness and produced by the Spirit and the binding power of peace. If I give a microphone out, this is my microphone out to three persons, one, two, three, four, five. Five persons, one from each role. I'm sure what I will get as to what we have understood from this scripture is perfectly underlined in number three, the verse number three. The Message translation takes it very, very clearly. It says we should be alert to each and everyone's differences. There is this thing that by God's grace, I was opportune to be with our father within the week on reading 93.7, I mean 97.3, which one? Reading FM. And one of the questions that someone asked him was, he was live. And he said, how do you deal with the problem of compatibility? Somebody says, We are not compatible. We are compatible as it is. And then he says, as an extension of that question, the person said, okay, so in some marriages or in some homes, some people say we have an irreconcilable difference. And then his answer was very, very instructive. What did he say? He said, well, he thanked his God that made him and his wife, that God knew that two of them can never be the same. And he said, the joy of being a family is for us to know our individual differences and then be able to align together. That was very, very instructive. As I move ahead, I want to just be looking at what I have titled, How to Keep the Bond of Family Relationship. From the scripture we have read, what are the things that have been aligned to us, listed for us, on how we can keep the bond of family relationship? By family relationship, I mean what binds us together. As a family, under God, how can we keep the bond of family? As a family, husband and wife and children, how can we keep the bond of that family? How can we represent God forever? I'm still wondering the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed before we came. They are existing. And they will keep existing. They are never tired of each other. I don't know what is keeping them together. But I think from what we have read, as we move ahead, let's read this, the NLT again. But as we read this NLT, permit me to introduce the word I put in circle. All right? And so let's read together. One, two, go. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God to always be humble and gentle. Did it make sense? You have been called by God to always be humble and gentle, comma, if you give me permission. Two, to always be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, and to make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Okay, what do they use to bind someone together? Fetters. In my wife's office, they will handcuff you. If two of you are found to have committed a crime together, or even though you didn't commit the same crime together, but you have every reason to be two criminals taken to one particular destination together, there is one thing they will do to you people. They will bind you people together with fetters. Now, the binding together is not a punishment because it is supposed to lead those criminals to an end. And the end is not the journey, it's not the road. There is an end somewhere. And the goal is for them not to separate from each other, not to separate from the law that is holding them together. Is someone listening to me? For those of us who are in marriage, family relationship, what is binding us together is the weather, is the tool, the soldering iron that the pastor, the reverend held standing in front of the two of you and used it to bind two of you together. And then at the end of the day, they will say, whatever the Lord has joined together, let no man put asunder. But in all of this, the question is, a lot of times we experience strains that want to disengage us. We experience some things that want to separate us. Let me move down to the family relationship. In the name of church, under God, what is it that brought us together? It is not our physique. It is not, I don't know how we came, but what is keeping us together is our faith. What is making you sit by the person that is sitting by you right now is not because you came together from the same house. is actually because you have a common ground called faith. And so, here, we want to outline the thing that can help us to keep that faith together. Once that faith is fragmented, our sitting together will have a fault. Once the thing that is binding us together is broken, there is no doubt, in no distant time, we may not be sitting together again. Another thing is sitting here the goal of church? No, sir. The goal of church is our hearts to be united together. But then, let's look at some of the things or the efforts. I pulled out 5 efforts we must make so we can keep the bond of family together. 5 efforts. Bible says in the scripture we read, Ephesians 4:3, that we should make every effort. Make every effort. We should strive. We should endeavor. In one of our pastors' meeting, one of our pastors, Pastor Anwulu in particular, was stressing that word. He said, we should endeavor. And then she went into a dictionary to dig out the meaning of endeavor. Endeavor is not something you sit down and then it comes to meet you. Endeavor is an act that is carried out by the person that wants the relationship. I need this relationship, therefore, I must ensure, I must endeavor to put some of these things, 5 things in place so that this relationship can work. That is the goal. That is what we are talking about. So what are those efforts? Efforts number 1, because my time is running, we must make effort to shift from just attending to our needs. We must shift from just attending in the name of we attend church service. We must shift from just attending to ourselves to becoming members of this family, to becoming born members of this family who trust each other. We must live. Listen, when I began to hear the term church in those days, church used to have followers. The followers of so-so and so-so church. Church shifted from having followers to having members. From having members, it has now shifted to having a family. When we were members, we used to come from different places, from our homes, to come and attend church. But now that we are a family, we live where we stay, where we are resident, where we are tenants to our home. I will explain it. If we say we are a family, and this is our family gathering, Pastor Mercy, and we come here every single first day of the week, isn't that supposed to mean that this is our family house? Then, if it is that it's our family house, isn't that supposed to mean that we are at home right now? It then means that we don't come to church to attend church. We come to our family house because we are coming home. Oh, someone is not listening to me. Okay. You have a house, yes, I believe. I know it. But that place you are in, you are a tenant there. By my definition. Your real house, your real home is where we are. So we must shift our thinking from I'm coming to attend church service at number 5 Oregbeni Street to I'm coming to my family house. I'm coming home. I'm returning home. Because when I am home, I am home. I am home is different from I went to Uye Grand Marquee to attend an event. Because at the end of the event, I return home. But when I am home, I am home. I go everywhere and return home because this is my home. So here where you are is not a place where you came to attend anything. You are actually home. Tell the person sitting by yourself, we are home. Okay, if you believe it, say it to another person at the other side. Okay. If it is true that we are home, remember, Though we have fathers and mothers, we have brothers and sisters, elderly ones and younger ones. Everybody has his own responsibility at this home. Nobody comes to say, something. In fact, if you come and you see your room messed up, you have a right to query any of your junior ones that entered your room and scattered your room. Hello? If you came home and you discover that the TV that used to be in your room is no longer there, it has been turned upside down, broken, you won't just feel unconcerned and say, at least it's no man's business. It's your home. How many of you will get home? Now, I'm sure you all have the keys of your houses here. How many of you will get in front of your gate this morning at the time, at the end of this meeting, and then you discover that the gate is opened down, and then you feel unconcerned? And then your door, as you enter your gate, your compound, your front door is opened down. The key is with you, is opened down, and then you still feel unconcerned. And then you enter the room, everywhere is upside down, and then you still feel unconcerned. How many of you would do so? Now, once you see from afar that your gate is opened down and the key is with you, something begins to happen in your mind. Someone else must have come here. So when you are coming home, sir, when you are coming home, these are the things that should begin to well up in your mind. We don't come here to attend church. We come here for a family gathering. This is your home. How did I know? Look at what he said here. He says, Ephesians 2:19. This is plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You used to have a different home country. Now a green paper has been given to you by the kingdom of God. Now you have a home that you can call your own by the faith that you possess. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. It means you will no longer be treated as someone who is coming from outside. You will no longer be treated as someone who is just a stranger. But now you belong here. Tell someone you belong here. Oh, tell another person you belong here. Now, that you belong here means you have every right that every family member has. That's the scripture. Everybody who belongs to this family has a right. They have a right to their identity. They have a right for fellowship. They have a right to be served and to serve. They have every right to be children of God. So everyone that is seated close to you belongs here. As long as you belong here, you have a right to be served. And if we don't serve you correctly, you have a right to query our service. And before you do so, you must have served someone else. In this home, we don't just come. Because you know what? God is building a home. He's not just building a church. He's not. That's why our father would say, he's not building a big church. He's not building a church. He's building a family. God is building a home. And in this home, we are all family members. He's using all of us to build this home. Look at the last statement. Irrespective of how we got here this morning, some of us may have gotten here by our private vehicles. Some others may have come with chartered vehicles. Others with buses. Others with even with keke, whatever. Others may have even strolled here. But irrespective of how we all got here, the unifying factor is the fact that we all belong here. Because God is building a home in all of us. We all belong here. Nobody is a stranger. You are not a stranger. I don't see you as someone that is from another place. I don't see you as someone who has a different blood from me. We all belong here. We all belong here. Nobody is a stranger. You are not a stranger to me. I'm not a stranger to you. God is not a stranger to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a stranger to the Son. And that's why they have always been together. None of us is a stranger to ourselves. Look at the next one. Number two, we must make effort to shift from I have a responsibility or to I have a responsibility to build and maintain the unity of this family that I belong. I have a responsibility to build and maintain the unity of this family. I must not keep quiet when I see things that want to fragment us. I must not keep mute when I see things that want to tear us apart. I have a responsibility to build up and then maintain this unity, the unity of this family. If I belong to this family, I watch out for everything that wants to pull us apart. That's why here we have a statement and we say it everywhere. What binds us is greater than what wants to tear us apart. And if what wants to tear us apart is smaller than what binds us, if you put it all together, what binds us together will always crush what wants to pull us apart. So here is the scripture. We all have a responsibility to build this family. We all have a responsibility to maintain the unity of this family. Our father would say some times ago, this name, FEM Foundation, has worked for so many of us. You have gone somewhere, someone say, you belong to FEM Foundation. Yeah, okay, because you belong to FEM Foundation, this is they just accord you a kind of respect that would not have been accorded to you. If you enjoy that, it means some people built it to that extent for you to enjoy that leverage. It means you as a family member must join your efforts together to take that leverage to another level so that your addition to the building of that same family will give us another leverage somewhere else, even higher. We have a responsibility to build. We have a responsibility to maintain. Look at the person sitting by your side. You have a responsibility to build him up. You have a responsibility to build her up. How do we build people up? You will be built up when you come for a fellowship. So I must look out for you each time you are not around. In fact, I must not wait for you not to be around before I start looking for you. I must begin to look for you before you become absent. So it means after this meeting, I should not wait till you are not around on the fourth day of the week before I start looking for you. I should start looking for you from tomorrow. I should start looking for you for the third day of the week, before we finally meet here on the fourth day of the week. And if anything must pull you aside, we must be aware that you are connected, but you are attending to issues outside. But that we are not aware of what is keeping you is an error if we must be building our family and keeping the unity. It's the same thing that happens in our homes. Everything I am saying here happens in church and happens at home. The husband must ensure that he builds and maintains the unity of his home. The same thing with the wife. The same thing with the children. Every one of us must ensure we build and maintain the unity of our home. If anything must break our unity, if anything must break anything that is the thing that is binding us, it is because either of us or both of us never took responsibility. But if we all took responsibility for the thing that is breaking us, we will arrive at unity, which is the goal of our being here. Look at the scripture. Bible says in Romans 14, 19. So let us all then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding, edification, and development of one another. Aim for. Each time you are going on a business trip, your aim is to ensure you bring home what makes for harmony, what makes for mutual building up. Each time we sit together to have discussions, what we will be discussing will be what will bring harmony amongst us, not what will separate us. Instead of making words that will separate us, utter statements that will bring us together. Pull up things that will build us together. I should gossip you. If the gossip will ensure that harmony is built up, please write on. But if the gossip will end us pulling apart, let's stop it. Number three, we must make effort to discover who we are and shift from I have a hole, or I shift to I have a hole to fill in this family. We must discover who we are We must make every effort to discover who we are. Individually, I must discover who I am. And then, when I discover who I am, and then I should now make effort to know and then pursue a hole to fill in this family. Someone said, the thing that gets you angry when you come to a gathering like this is what is a clue to what you were actually called to fix. So if you came here and you saw that the usher did not arrange you well, please permit me to say to you, sir, you are actually an usher in this church. It's just that you have not discovered who you are. If I sing and you didn't enjoy the song, please, sir, permit me to put it to you that you were actually supposed to be the one singing. It's just that you didn't discover yourself. There is a hole that you were meant to fill. There is no person who was born shapeless. Every one of us was born shaped to fill a particular hole in the family. That's why in FDA, we bring you up and then help you to discover your shape. And your shape, we put it in an acronym. Your spiritual gift, your heartbeat, your abilities, your personalities, and your experiences. If you put all of these together, it's your figure eight. Thank you. And once you discover that your figure eight, there is a vacuum that must be filled with it. Each time you refuse to discover yourself, you are denying us of the benefit of who you are. Hey, I want to say it again. Each time you refuse to discover who you are and what you can contribute to the development of this family, you are denying us of who you are. Bible says, to him that knows to do a thing and refuses to do it, it is counted to him as what? As sin. And sin is missing the mark. If you refuse to discover who you are and then contribute it to the development of this family, you are denying us of who you are. Imagine that Jesus knew that he was the savior of the world, but chose not to come to save. No, imagine that Jesus knew he was the savior of the world, but chose to keep that opportunity in his pocket and be walking around heaven. What do you think would have happened today? You better imagine the result. So brothers and sisters, say mm. Family members, say mm. There is a hole you must fill in this family. And so the person that is sitting close to you, if you have not enjoyed the person's ministry, please tell the person now. My brother, my sister, you are denying us of your ministry. Tell them. Don't look at me. Tell them. It is possible that this person sitting close to you is supposed to be a teacher in the FDA. It is possible that sister sitting close to you is supposed to be a teacher in children's church. So that you can be... Have you noticed that sometime when our women bring their children to this hall, some of us, we say, hold your children, hold your children, hold your children. When you say, hold your children, hold your children, you are supposed to be in the children's church. I put it to you. You are supposed to be in children's church. Amen? AC no co. You bring out fan, your personal fan. And be blowing your personal self inside the congregation of our people, my brother and sister. You were supposed to be in charge of cooling this hall. That means every time you wake up on the first day of the week, what you are supposed to do is to quickly rush here and ensure that all the ACs are put on. It is possible. Yes, if you want to clap for me, clap for me. It is possible that while you are blowing that, one of the ACs, even though it is showing on, we have adjusted the vent to ensure that instead of blowing coal, it's blowing air. And you are the only person that is discovering it by your experience. Shape is experience, not part of shape. So that means in this family, you were supposed to be part of the FBC, in charge of that thing. In fact, how many of you discover that when our generator just stops now, park, everybody will just say, you'll be looking for who to go. You are the one that is supposed to have gone there. Seriously. I'm serious. So you must discover who you are in this family. If the man does not discover who he is in his family, it is called irresponsibility. If the woman also does not discover who she is in the family and supply who she is, it's also called irresponsibility. What of a church member who refuses to discover who is she, who is he, and refuses to supply it? What is it called? You are the one that says so. Amen? So every one of us must discover who we are. We must discover. Some of us, when we come here, God actually tells us to come with two biros. And when his biro is misbehaving, you feel it. You are, something is telling you. Yes, a better tell them. Something is telling you. Something is telling you. You were supposed to have brought the second biro. You didn't bring it. That means there was a service you were supposed to render in church that day. But when the Spirit reminded you at home, you refused. You binded the Spirit in the name of Jesus. If there is anything like binded. Amen? You have something to supply in this house. Tell the person sitting close to you. Tell another person. You have something. You have something. It is not true that you don't have a ministry. Let me not use religious term. It is not true that you don't have anything to do in this church. It's not true. Your job is not just to come and sit down here. It's not true. You have heard. It is now time for you to do. So everybody has a responsibility. Everybody has something they are doing. Some people this morning, they have come to clean here, mop here. Some people, if you look at this, our flower, and you look at it that some of them need to be changed, please don't look at the people that brought them here. Search your heart. God may be telling you, we are missing your contribution. That's why we are the way we are. Look at the scripture that says here. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As each of you, I underlined it. He didn't say as some of you. That means even God knew. In fact, he knows that every one of us has something to supply. That's why he didn't use the term as some of you. He said as each of you has received a gift. So you cannot tell me that God has not given you a gift for us. God has given you something for us. A particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment. Employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. We are supposed to enjoy your gift unmeritedly. We are not supposed to merit it for you to serve us. We are supposed to just come to church and receive your service. How many of you merited mercy singing to you this morning? If you merited it, no. We didn't merit it. Did we pay? No. All we came is to come. And then we stand. And then for me, if I raise my voice now, some of you will leave this hall. You do not merit my torture. But because that is the hole I need to fill, are you not enjoying me now? Hallelujah. So that's the scripture. Let's look at the other ones and then we quickly go. Number 4, we must make effort to shift from me, myself, and I to me, us, and others. Listen, guys. We must make a shift both in our minds and in our actions. From me, myself, and I. I don't know how to say it, but I need to just reemphasize it. Our fathers have said here that whatever God has given to you, he gave it to us through you. Let me say it in another form. Whatever that is in your possession now is actually our own. It is just in your custody. Let me paraphrase again. Should I go ahead? Beautiful. Everything you are enjoying alone now as your personal benefit is actually our own, put in your custody, put in your care. Now, a politician who is appointed to come and give us light, you know, the one that we used to see road, and then $17 million or billion dollars were given to ensure that all the streets and everywhere have light, and he decided to put his thing in his pocket and use one to do anywhere belay face. Now, what do we call the politician? Corrupt. What is the meaning of corruption? Corruption is not necessarily that they ate the money. Corruption, another definition of corruption is that they were giving money to put light. They went to use the money to put water. Misappropriation of funds. That's the meaning of corruption. And or they were supposed to put transformer at the junction to serve all of us. They now went to put it in their personal apartment. Did they not put transformer? They put. But is the transformer serving the purpose of putting? No. Now, let's come back to church. If you are a minister of light in church, that is supposed to give us the transformer of the world, and then you now study the word and study the word by yourself, for yourself and yourself, and refuse to give us, are you different from that politician? No. Did you study the word? Yes. Did you read it? Yes. But have you given it to us? No. Am I doing you something this morning? I came to do us something. We must shift from me, myself, and I to me, us, and we, and others. Let me not go there. But I have to go there. I have to go there. Everything, including, that is why once every other time we will say, bring foodstuff, bring clothing, bring something, even bring shelter. You may not have a room to cut and bring to church, but you know the equivalent of a room that we can give to someone. What God gave to you is actually was given to us through you. And you know something? What you cannot give us, you are not supposed to keep. Because at the end of the day, when a budget is not used, what is it supposed to be? They are supposed to do a refund. Return it back. Return it to the source, to the ministry. You're not supposed to keep it. So that means some of us actually have ministries that we are not using. You have ministry to pray for us, but we don't see you in prayer room. You have a ministry to sing to us, but we don't see you in choir stand. We have a ministry to even handle the camera. You even know that some of the pictures they take, you can even do better. And then you are not doing it. You know what you are trying to do? You are keeping what you are supposed to be doing for us. But I pray that you have an opportunity to express it, because you are not returning. They don't need it in heaven. We don't need it in heaven, sir. That gift that God gave to you is not needed in heaven. We don't need your prayer capacity in heaven. We don't need your word capacity in heaven. We don't need your camera strategy in heaven. Where we need it is here on earth. And if you cannot give it to us, I wonder where you are going to take it to. So please tap the person by your side. There is something you need to give to us. What God has given to you is for me, it's for us. It's for me, it's for us. It's for me, it's for us. Please bring it. Look at the scripture.
Acts 2:38-39. Does this correlate? Look at it. Bible says, then Peter said to them, like I'm saying today, repent and be baptized. What does it mean to repent? Change your mind. What does it mean to be baptized? To be engrafted into the family. That means some of us, we already have a mind shift. We already have changed our mind. We have been engrafted into the family. Now, there is another thing that we need to do, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. For the promise is unto you. For the promise of the family is unto you. Not only unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off. Even as many as the Lord God shall call. This family is not just here. It is me, we, and others. Bring more people. Let's look at the last point. He says we must make effort to remain in the chains of peace. In the fetters of peace. We must make every effort to remain in the fetters of peace. Things are dragging us. Many things want us to fall apart. But we have a suitable fetter. We have a suitable chain. We have a suitable prison that we must remain in. It is the prison of peace. We have a place where we dwell. It is the prison of peace. Bible says in this scripture, he says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's fault because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Binding yourselves, tying yourselves, putting yourselves in chains, putting yourselves in the prison of peace. There is a prison that is being created for us. It is a prison of peace. But there is a freedom that the devil wants us to introduce to us. It is the freedom of going apart. No, but God is saying, no, the freedom of going apart is worse than the prison of peace. Rather remain in the prison of peace than in the freedom of going apart. If you're married, the freedom of going apart is worse, is terrible, than the prison of peace. If you are apart, I don't mean to shame you. I don't know the full story. But here it is. The deal is this. We must remain in the prison of peace. We must bind ourselves together with chains of peace. We must confront each other with the chains of peace. Your brother is going somewhere. Our father made, I think, an analogy. One time he was teaching here. And then he said, when a shepherd is taking his sheep and then he notices that one particular sheep keeps going astray all the time, what the shepherd will do is to put that sheep in the prison of peace by inflicting pain upon him, breaking one of his legs, so that he will not be able to stray out of the fold again. What does it mean for you to be the sacrifice? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We wander out of the shrine if it is not tied with the prince, with the shackles of peace. You know what? You know what I want to say as the last point? Be looking at me so seriously. We have a peace to keep. We have a life to keep. We have a family to keep. And one thing that we can use to keep it is our chain of peace. I must look at you and speak to your life in peace. I must look at you and then talk to you and pray for you in peace. I must look at you and release peace unto you, because that is the only soil that we can survive in. Listen, look at it. We have a challenge somewhere. And what are the challenges? Look at what is plaguing us. Number one, at Eden, separation from God happened, started. It was established when man walked out of Eden. God said to man, you have to take your leave now. From that moment, it was introduced into the DNA of man to ensure that separation must happen. And so this is the reason each and every time, most times, even when there's nothing happened, you just want to leave that organization. You just want to leave that church. You just want to leave that family. You just want to leave. You know why? That, right there at the beginning, something was introduced into the DNA of man. It is rearing its ugly head up to today. Look at the second one. At Babel, separation from one another in communication started. Have you noticed that we can't communicate effectively? Have you noticed that even husband and wife, they can't sit down to talk about issues? You know the root of it? It is because at Babel, all of us were confused. So we didn't know how to... We used to be in one language. We used to be together. We used to speak the same language. We used to speak the same voice. But something happened. As of today, we no longer can communicate effectively. We can't talk to each other in holy psalms. We can't talk to each other anymore. But thank God for Jesus. In the Acts of the Apostle, he brought about a restoration. Look at the third one. The third one. You see that when Cain killed Abel, our trust was broken. So we started a mistrust for each other. We no longer trust ourselves anymore. Deep down in the DNA of man, there is that mistrust that is buried on the inside. So in church, what we are trying to do is to work out our redemption. Work out our redemption. In what way? The ultimate goal of God's redemption is the restoration of our family relationships and unity. He wants to restore us to that place where we walked out of him in Eden. He wants to restore us to that place where our communication was broken down. He wants to restore us to that place where mistrust started so that we can trust each other. We are not church members if we can't trust ourselves. We are not family members if we can't trust ourselves. How far we can go is dependent on how strong our trust for each other is. Hey, how far we can go in life, how far we can go here, how strong we can be here on earth is dependent on how strong our trust for each other is. Listen, guys, we can go to heaven. Reason being that we have a particular thing that we want to do. Our trust for God, we guarantee our going to heaven. But our trust for each other, we guarantee our success here on earth. If we are not healed on our inside to ensure that the brokenness is rectified, if we are not healed on our inside to ensure that the brokenness of communication is healed, is rectified, we will always find ourselves in the chaos of life. Listen, guys, as much as you know that church is a family, as much as you know that we have said we are a family, a lot of things try to come in between us. And the only thing that can put us together is the fact that we make our trust for each other stronger than what is trying to break us. How much do you trust the person that is sitting by you? Take a census. How much of your trust? How much can you trust that person? How much? Can you commit your life to that person's hand? How much? Can you leave your children in the home of that person and just travel? How much? How much can you even leave your finances in the hands of that person? How much can you even leave your debit card and the code with me? We're not going there. We're not going there. How much, sir? How much? How much trust do we have for each other? How much trust? Do I trust that? Do I just trust me? Do I just trust this man? Do I just trust this woman? Do I trust this pastor? Isn't he trying to just come out? How much trust do I have? How much trust? This is the issues in church. This is the issues at stake. And listen to me. I want to call you for a prayer. And is that prayer the prayer of restoration of our relationships? We must be restored to God and then be restored to each other. Listen, guys. Irrespective of how we try to connect, we can't connect if we have not learned our connection with God. I need you to rise. Let's say a prayer together. Let's rise. Let's say a prayer together. Let's rise. Let's rise. They sang a song for us to close our prayer this morning. I just need us to sing that song with a sense of understanding. And then let's see how we can make meanings out of that song. And then I will lead us in that prayer.
I need you.
Look at someone.
You need me.
Turn to the person and listen to that song. You can sing that song.
God's body, stand with me. Agree with me. We all. Part of God's I need you. You need me. We all are part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We all are part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.